Beep, beep,
beep, beep. Oh, yeah, it started.
We did it.
We did it. Wait, what? All right, guys, welcome to Rage Quit. What?
Beep, 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 beep.
Well, my name is Ariel Skulitz.
My name is Anthony Schultz.
Wait, what? When did it happen?
Tuesday.
It's always Tuesday.
Always. But whoa. This is episode 12.
Yes, it is. 12 episodes of a Rage Quitting.
So today we are going to be discussing the Bioshock franchise. We're going to be doing like a deep dive into how that happened and why it's no longer around.
It sucks. I love freaking Bioshock. It's like my ultimate favorite.
There's still hope, for sure.
Yeah, but then
it's not dead.
It's mildly in a coma.
Irreversible to a degree.
Coma.
It's not irreversible. Your favorite one is not contingent on the creator of Bioshock.
No, which is funny because I never realized that Bioshock 2 wasn't made by the same studio.
No. That was made by a different one.
Which is funny, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I think what we'll do is we'll discuss probably our favorite Bioshocks, maybe our favorite moments from them, why we like them and stuff like that. And then we'll expand from there. We'll talk about, like, the origins of it and the creator, what happened with Bioshock 2, and then what could be.
What it could be.
Yeah.
Yonder down the road.
So, like you just brought up, Bioshock 2 is your favorite.
It is. The reason why Bioshock 2 is my favorite is because you play as the Big Daddy. You play as the Alpha. Right, Alpha?
Yes.
As the original Big Daddy. And you are destroyed by the creator because you're too close. Because your little sister is her daughter that was kidnapped and then forced into the program.
Exactly.
And so she was the first experiment, the daughter and the Big Daddy was. So, and you will go through trying to get back to your little sister to that connection because the Big Daddies die. They don't have their little sisters.
Yep. Yeah, and it is a direct sequel to Bioshock in terms of, like, timeline.
It is. It's like
that one takes place in the 60s. Mm-hmm. The first one's in the 50s. For me, I have a toss-up between. I think if it boiled down to it, Bioshock Infinite would be my favorite. However, the first Bioshock is, like, closely behind that. Which is funny, because those two on either side of Bioshock 2 are my favorite. I really like Bioshock 2. I think it's good.
Mm-hmm.
When I first played it, when it came out, I did not realize that it wasn't by the same creator, and I just kind of played through it, and I didn't like it as much as the first Bioshock.
How come you didn't like it as much as the first Bioshock?
I felt like the first Bioshock was more survival horror.
Yeah, okay, I get that.
Survival horror is definitely, like, contingent on, usually limited mobility, limited, like, view, like, sight.
Yeah.
It's a big one. You know, they play a lot into, like, lighting, like, darkness.
Yeah.
Or even strictly to just try to move your character to see can sometimes be difficult.
That's true.
I feel like the first Bioshock did a really good job with that. Like, lights are, like, flickering in and out. Yeah. You are human. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, it's daunting as a human, I think, to be able to take on a Big Daddy.
True. Yeah, I mean, if you're Alpha Big Daddy, you're just taking on... Yeah, actually, you're taking on Big Sisters, you're not taking on another Big Daddy. It's actually...
Yeah, and that's the big... That's how they try to, like, rebalance that out in Bioshock 2, was to include the Big Sisters, who are pretty much souped-up versions of Big Daddies. Besides being strong, if not stronger, than their counterparts, they're fast.
Well, they're just the little sisters that have grown and then been changed into...
Spoiler alert much.
Oh my god, how long has this game been out?
Oh god, Bioshock 2, 2010. It's been
you
9 years.
You haven't played it in 9 years, and you're listening to this now, and like, oh my god, she spoiled it! You got issues, man.
It'd be funny, though.
That would be funny, though. Fine, we'll put spoilers in the title.
No, we're way down that. If we were doing, like, a podcast, you know, about the Outer Worlds or something, or, like, Death Stranding after it releases, then that's a different story.
Yeah, that's a different story, but this has been a while since it's been out. But, no, yeah, you play the little sisters are just older versions where...
I feel like the second one was more action-packed.
Yeah, it's not as much of a jump scare. They try to do the jump scares with the big sisters, especially, like... you got close and you can hear them and you're like, oh, God, they're here somewhere.
Yeah, but usually you end up just, like, enticing them to you and then you get attacked by them. So yeah. You can, like, avoid most conflicts, save for, like, the first couple or the last couple, but...
True.
And then the third one, I like the... That one's my favorite just because of the philosophical...
Yeah, the aspect of it.
Yeah, I really like that style of writing, and I liked how it tied... It, like, seemingly seemed like it wasn't tied to Bioshock and Bioshock 2 at all. But it did. Yeah, and it was just, like... It got me from the get-go just because it was like, this is not Bioshock.
No.
But it's called Bioshock Infinite. Like, it takes place, like, 50 years prior, 40 years prior, like, 1912. You're in this floating city...
Which isn't underwater.
Yeah, and it's very
Tom
much...
Tom Stock, not Andrew Ryan.
Yeah, very much based on, like, nationalism and, like, Rapture is, like, completely built the opposite way. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, like, shrugging off the shackles of, like, government and man.
Yeah.
But then Columbia in Infinite, the floating city of Columbia, like, embraces what Andrew Ryan, the original Bioshock, opposed. Mm-hmm. And so that premise of, like, opposites definitely grabbed me. But then they did such a beautiful job, in my opinion, of tying it all together and then opening up to a world of possibilities that never happened. Infinite, though, is more action-heavy as well and not a survival horror. It's even more action-packed than Bioshock 2.
It is. And I feel like the thing is that it's kind of hard to keep to the... I think the original Bioshock wanted to be a horror game, which it could very well be.
Oh, yeah, I would consider it survival horror.
And it's just kind of hard to make seconds out of that with it about being, like...
Yeah, because... If you set it back in Rapture, which is what Bioshock 2 did,
yeah,
you know the scares.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, for granted, they added, like, the big sisters, but that's just for balancing and gameplay.
Well, you know the splicers.
But yeah, you know the splicers. You know the city. You know that it's underwater. You know, like, the cast of characters.
Yeah, you know the splicers. For granted, the splicers, because it's like 20 some odd years later, where they're, like, all mutated now.
Yeah, because they've been there a lot longer. It's been, like, another 10 years or something.
Yeah, and it's just, like, get that aspect of it, but it's a little hard to keep the same jump scare, because it's, like, if you think about, just going to be tangential, other scary games that have sequels or, you know, another scary game, it's not necessarily scary because you know what's going to happen. You know the jump scares. You know,
they may... I'd say Resident Evil 2 does a pretty damn good job.
Okay, you know... Just trying to make a point here, but whatever.
So, Bioshock 2 takes place in 1958.
Okay.
And then I'll look up the first one, so I have a hard year.
But, anyways, the jump scare is a little harder to keep intact with the story or the storyline, because it's like, how do you advance jump scares in a second game? You know, how do you...
Okay, no, scratch that. First one's 1960.
What's the second one? Probably...
I said 58, but that can't be right.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be right.
It was afterwards.
How dare you not know this, Anthony?
They're saying it opens on New Year's Eve 58 when Rapture collapses.
Yeah, and then it's...
Then it time skips.
Because she shoots the Big Daddy, the Alpha.
And then, of course, it doesn't provide, like...
How long has it been since then?
Oh, 8 years after the first game, so 1968.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, so there's an 8-year difference. They both take place in the 60s, not the 50s and the 60s like I thought. But
well, without it.
The collapse of Rapture happened in 1958 on New Year's, which I thought was a really interesting...
kind of.
That's why the Spicers have masks and stuff, and it's like there's New Year's parties that you go through that have just been long abandoned from years prior.
Trying to survive, and... Then the Spicers are still wearing masks, and their ball gowns were all torn up and fucked up. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, it's super interesting. Like, the ambiance and the Art Deco kind of style.
It is still scary. It's still Bioshock. But the problem is, like I was saying, it's hard to reiterate that scare in a second game when you've already seen what happens in the first one.
Yeah, I agree. I think my Resident Evil example only works is because it's zombies, and you can play that in different ways. It's more, like, top-level horror.
Yeah, exactly.
Bioshock is very much specific and focused on the lore. So once you know the lore...
It's like...
And, like, the setting, then you know, in future games, if it's set in Rapture, what's going to be scary.
Yeah, I'm not saying they didn't get some good jump scares. Oh, shit, that special came out of nowhere, but...
Yeah, I mean, it still happened, but it was less so compared to the first one.
Then the third one, Jesus, that is, like, nowhere near jump scare. That's just straight up just action-packed, period.
Yeah, it's very action-packed, and I do remember complaints about Infinite that it focused a lot more on the...
Action,
gunplay, and the gameplay. Than... A lot more of, like, the atmosphere.
I feel like Infinite didn't really... It explored the lore, but not as much as it could have.
It does if you dive into the nitty-gritty and you listen to, like, the...
All the tapes and all
the same way that Bioshock did it as well.
Yeah, that's true. Original. I mean, it's meant to be played through a few times on difficulty hard modes, and the fact that you have to collect all of the... It's not...
Well, there is DLC, too, for Infinite. Yeah, either Vonographs or something like that.
I think Vinographs, like Videographs.
And then they're Phonographs. Or Audio Diaries. Or Audio Diaries in the first batch.
Yeah. And
then they're Phonographs in
Infinite, because it's before.
Yeah, it's before, and it's also a different timeline.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, in that, in Bioshock Infinite, the events of Rapture do not take place even 40 years later.
No, they're in a completely different timeline.
Like, that version of Rapture is Columbia, and so it just happened to occur in 1912 instead of 1958.
But it's exactly the same premise.
It is, yeah.
They'll all have to give a vote of kind of keeping in the same breath where they have Songbird for...
They do kind of have a big daddy, a lot of crossover symmetry. Comstock, you have Andrew Ryan,
Booker DeWitt, and then it's
you have Jack.
Jack,
is the original character,
original Bioshock guy, and
they both have the tattoos.
Mm-hmm. The chain,
with the chain,
yep.
That hasn't been broken.
The only one I still is my favorite phrase in the first one. The man chooses a slave obeys.
Yeah, which is fantastic. The opening to the first Bioshock is the best.
It is. It just is.
Like, when you first go down in the Blastosphere and you get to see, like, the ruined city and, you know, the Big Daddy is still working on,
trying,
like,
to fix
the causeways
it.
To repair. Yeah, using the rivet guns and stuff, the rosy riveters. And,
yep.
And then it goes in and then, like, that tunnel, like, lights up on the top.
Yeah.
And it says, all good things flow through Rapture.
Yep.
And then you go through. Might have played it a few times.
What? Just a few. We play it every Halloween, so.
It's, I believe the only game that I platinumed twice.
That's hilarious.
The first Bioshock.
On 3 and then on 4. PlayStation
yeah, I did. I platinumed it out of the Bioshock collection on the PS4, and then I platinumed it when it originally came out.
Yeah.
2, I didn't have the luxury of doing that with because...
They had online. But when it rebooted it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Because they just took all those trophies
and
out.
I actually did. I've talked about it on the podcast before, but I played a ton of Bioshock 2 online.
HOVOR.
Well, I didn't even do it for trophies. I actually legitimately loved the Bioshock 2 online mode. I thought it was great because narratively it made sense too.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you didn't get to see this portion of it, but you have like your own apartment and you're becoming a splicer.
Oh, okay.
So it's during the Rapture's collapse on New Year's.
Okay.
So all of like the team death battles or whatever online match you're doing is a group of you as you're slowly becoming splicers and addicted to Adam all in your New Year's like get-ups and stuff that you can like swap in and out battling for supremacy of Adam.
That's legit.
As Rapture is collapsing because everyone's been driven crazy by Adam. And so it's like, it made sense, because it's like, that's when it collapsed. And so it rewinds time a little bit, and it takes place in 1958, and it has its own story and everything.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and there's even ones where you hunt down little sisters and stuff like that to collect Adam, and yeah, there was a whole bunch of different game modes.
That's another thing, too, I like, too, in Bioshock 2. The second Bioshock is the fact that you get to be a little sister, too.
Yeah, it's definitely very interesting. Bioshock
I like
2
this perspective.
Did a great job of expanding on the lore.
The lore and the perspectiveness of it, because then you play as a big daddy, you play as the alpha, the original, which can adhere to the drillers and the riveters and all the powers of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get
because
he's the prototype, and then you get the experience of being a little sister and seeing when they say little angels and how it looks beautiful
what they see.
What they see compared to what, you know,
the,
when they're...
Everyone else, the sees, Slicers yeah. sees.
Or and when they're talking and they're saying, you know, oh, she's an angel, or, you know...
Yeah, they see death as very colorful, and uh-huh. as if they were an actual angel.
Yeah,
they don't. They don't see the fall of rapture.
No.
They actually almost see it as a paradise.
And what's cool is the fact that with the original little sister, she's grown up because that's her daughter, but how her mother's still experimenting on her, how she ends up turning into a big sister.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool because it definitely did harken back to the first one quite a bit. Like, they talk about, obviously, like, Tannenbaum mm-hmm. and...
Because she's still there because she's trying to rescue all the little sisters.
Exactly. And so there's characters that carry forward mm-hmm. who just remain there. And then there's, you know, other characters that they add or they flesh out more that you actually get to see that you didn't realize were there.
Yeah, the entire first time.
Time you went through.
Well, what's cool as a tie-in, too, is if you pay attention to the backgrounds with, like, Infinite, when the songbird's drowning because they're in Rapture.
Oh, yeah, that's a weird Easter egg. So, for people who have played Bioshock, you may not know this. This is, like, a deep cut. But, yeah, there is a certain part in Bioshock 2, like, right after you defeat Cohen. You can decide whether to defeat him or not. Or you can, like, kill him later.
Yeah.
Which is recommended to do, actually. But, regardless, the initial battle where you fight Cohen, like, immediately afterwards, you hear this strange, like, echoey sound, and you think it's, like...
A splicer or something.
Yeah, you think it's a splicer or your radio, like, glitching out or something like that. You don't really... It's very, like, in the background, but mm-hmm. very distinct. And then you move on, you play the rest of the game. And then, in Infinite, they included that into the narrative. Just that one sound.
Just that the one sound. Because it could have honestly been a glitch.
Yeah, it's because the songbird gets teleported to Rapture in another timeline.
It's like, the only way to destroy him.
Yeah, and drowns. Mm-hmm. And it's screech or its scream as it drowns and dies. And you can hear it because they went to the Bioshock
mm-hmm.
timeline. Yep. Bioshock 1 and 2. Which was really fucking trippy. Like, that was such a deep cut. And I remember going back through and playing Bioshock 2. And it's sure as shit. It absolutely is. Like, there's no question about it.
Which I just thought it was really cool that they did that. It's like, they tied in those games because even though that studio didn't make Bioshock 2, you still, they're tying it into it because it's, you know, it's the franchise.
It's canon now, yeah.
It's canon, you know.
Yeah, and the DLC for Bioshock... Infinite mm-hmm. is Elizabeth in Rapture.
Yep.
And there's like two chapters with her. And those yeah. are really well done as well.
Yeah, and I like...
And you kind of have a mix of like Vigors and...
which I think is cool because the Vigors you drink and then the other... By original Bioshock, you stab yourself with a needle for yeah. Adam. And I can't remember what the Big Daddy... It's not Adam. Or is it Adam?
For what?
Bioshock 2. For the Big Daddy.
What about it?
What he injects himself with.
It's Adam.
Is it Adam?
Yeah.
Because he's a prototype, so he's actually a man inside there.
Yeah, well, you kind of find out that they were all...
Human.
Yeah.
The Big Daddy.
And they get...
Fucked up and...
Yeah, they pretty much, like, experiment on them and, like, force them to be this. Like, they were people at one
yeah.
point.
Like, he was the original...
And they, like, forcibly create a bond...
With
Adam, with, like, the little girls to be, like,
with the
their
slugs
bodyguards
and stuff, yeah.
Which is
to
just
to protect
crazy.
Them, because the little sisters collect Adam from the dead bodies, and the only ones that are able to do as such, so they're able to have, like, recycled, quote-unquote, Adam.
Yeah.
Throughout, you know.
Bioshock 2, though, does have the best DLC. Minerva's Den is fantastic.
I don't remember playing that one.
That one's really cool. It's like you go outside of Rapture on the seafloor, which you do quite a bit in Bioshock 2, but it's like a whole new area.
Okay.
And it's like Minerva is there as, I believe mm-hmm. it's almost like an AI.
Yeah.
But that by far is like the best DLC, even in comparison to Elizabeth going back to Rapture in, or going to Rapture the first time.
Yeah.
In Infinite.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I like Infinite. I do. I feel like I don't like it as much because it's so different.
It's a lot different. It's very twisty, too.
It is twisties. It's got lots of twisties in it.
Because you're talking about, like...
Elizabeth, who's not from that timeline, who has
his
power.
Not technically, yeah.
But who has his power because she can split the timelines. And her mom goes crazy because she knows her daughter died, but they brought a different daughter, Comstock did.
by using himself in another timeline.
Yeah. To do as such.
Because Booker DeWitt and Comstock are the same person, and it just hinges on one decision in their past.
That changed it.
One makes Comstock, who then becomes the leader of the city of Columbia. And the other one becomes Booker DeWitt, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy to think about, like...
Yeah, that one's more twisty in your brain, where Bioshock's more, these bitches are crazy because they're addicted to this psych fucking drug that gives you superpowers that slowly freaking mutates you.
Yeah, well, I think especially with the infinite, like, possibilities kind of a thing, and, like, the multiple timelines mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and the twistiness, it was really kind of doubling down on the great ending of Bioshock.
Yeah.
Where you find out that your main character has been brainwashed the entire time.
And that you're Andrew Ryan's son.
Yeah. And it's like, those two things, like, mm-hmm. you don't realize, and that it's, like, really cleverly done, because every time someone says, would you kindly, you do it as a gamer and just play, because it's the only way to go forward. It, yeah,
and you're not even thinking about the phrase, would you kindly.
Yeah, and then they tell you that every time they use the trigger, would you kindly, you have to do it.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why. So I think with Infinite, they were really just kind of, like, focused on that, and, like, how do we make this bigger and more grandiose, and, like, really tie it into everything.
Well, and then the infinite possibilities, which is its perfect tying, because Elizabeth can go through all of the timelines.
Yeah, exactly. All the different versions of Rapture or Columbia, mm-hmm. or, you know, there might even be other versions. Of
yeah,
the city
exactly.
That is something
and then,
different in other times.
It makes me wonder how they're going to, if they ever make a fifth one, how they're going to do it.
A fourth one, yeah.
Oh, shit, yeah, four, whatever.
It's interesting. So, the brainchild behind Bioshock is Ken Levine.
Yep.
And he worked at a studio called Looking Glass, and he did...
the PC game.
He did Thief, which we just had, like, a remake of Thief. That was a PC-only kind of game. This is, like, late 90s.
Okay.
There was a PS4 Thief early in its, like, life cycle. And it's based off that same franchise.
I remember you playing, like, 10 minutes of it and quitting.
Yeah, it's kind of It's one that I might, like, eventually go back to the playthrough, but mm-hmm. it's not the worst game, but it's not the best game either. It's just kind of, like, solid. It's just down the middle.
St. Agatha movie going on there?
Not that bad.
time where we wanted to turn off a movie.
And then he also had an instrumental part in another game called System Shock.
Mm-hmm.
The very first one, I think he was, like, a lead animator.
Yeah.
And maybe helped with some of the narrative design. In System Shock 2, he was the creative director of. And
which
so
is crazy.
That game really kinda set the groundwork for Bioshock. Mm-hmm. Bioshock became kind of the spiritual successor to System Shock.
Mm-hmm.
And won a lot of awards and a lot of praise, kind of being Dan and the studio for doing System Shock 2. Eventually, he ended up taking... two other employees from Looking Glass, and the three of them formed their own studio, Irrational Games.
Yeah.
And Irrational Games is what did Bioshock.
Oh, okay.
So that was, like, their next kind of project. There was a few other games in there that did well, but we're kind of just talking about the direct lineage
of Bioshock.
So you get, like, Thief was kind of, like, the beginning, then you get the System Shock series,
System Shock 2.
And then Bioshock.
Yeah. So why did another studio make Bioshock 2? Like, what's up with that?
So, supposedly, there was a dispute, because Irrational Games was then purchased by 2K,
mm-hmm.
and Irrational Games was renamed 2K Boston.
Mm-hmm.
2K usually just names their studios 2K and then whatever location.
Makes sense.
And a lot of big publishers do that.
Yeah.
Ubisoft does that. You know, you have, like, Ubisoft Montreal, Singapore, like, you know, but they're Ubi something. Same thing with 2K.
Yeah.
Very similar. So they took Irrational Games, they changed it to 2K Boston, and mm-hmm. I believe 2K Boston was in the credits for when Bioshock was released.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Levine is a film student and a writer.
Yeah.
Not specifically, especially at the time, because of his age, like, trained in, like, not saying that he can't do this, because obviously he has another masterful job, but not specifically trained mm-hmm. in, like, 3D animation design or, like, computer programming or things like that.
Yeah.
So I always get the feeling that he really had a tight creative control on it, especially the narrative. And the narrative is really what drives Bioshock 1, 2, and 3.
They do.
So supposedly he had some sort of dispute with 2K and decided to let another studio do Bioshock 2 while they began work on Bioshock Infinite.
Oh, okay. Well, that's weird.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure there was communication between the two studios, even if it was just passed through, like, a third party in 2K, most likely.
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe Kennelby was, like, upset about this, or maybe he was just upset with 2K. It's hard to kind of tell. Obviously, there's a ton of different sides to that story, yeah, and some reports are, like, public, and some are more private. Some are going to be internal to 2K itself. They'll probably never kind of release. But from my understanding, there was a dispute with Ken Levine and Bioshock 2 and 2K. And so 2K Marin, which is in California, ended up doing Bioshock 2.
Well, I feel like even though another studio did Bioshock 2, I can't tell personally.
Well, and that's kind of the nifty thing. Once the first one especially is made and created.
Yeah.
All of it, and they were on the same systems, nonetheless.
Yeah.
All of those assets are going to be owned by 2K.
Okay.
So all of those assets for the first Bioshock were most likely recycled almost entirely for Bioshock 2.
You think so?
Absolutely. And so I'm sure 2K Marin was just given
a platform, and this is what needs to be done to
make. Yeah, like make a Bioshock 2. But that's here's your budget. This is, you know, the time frame we're shooting for as far as, like, release. Here's all the work that, like, Ken Levine and his team have done with Irrational Studios, now 2K Boston.
Yeah.
You can use it to make, because we own both of you, you can use it to make Bioshock 2.
But only use it to make Bioshock 2,
Well, yeah, because then you'd be, like, defrauding your parent company, and then you're in, like, financial crisis if you started to, like, make another game and blatantly ignore your, like, supervisors. Like,
board game!
Yeah. So it's, like, that's something that usually does not happen. That's
well, never no, happened. Yeah, before. But still, I just feel, honestly, for myself, that you can tell when a different studio has done a game.
Sometimes, yeah. I think Ken Levine, though, did such an amazing job with the first one that there was such a foundation in, like, the lore, the storytelling, the narrative, the character design, and then the world, that so many of those assets then got carried over to 2K Marin, and they were able to pretty much just kind of, like, and then I'm not saying this in a bad way, but right on the coattails of the first one.
Yeah.
And craft something really well done that really they didn't have to come up with.
No, yeah. Like, yeah, true.
I mean, they created their own story and their own game and stuff and added and tweaked, like, gameplay mechanics and.
But you know, I think I remember in an interview, too, where he said that for Bioshock 2, he created a lot of the kind of grounds for it anyways. It was already written, basically.
That's what I'm kind of curious about, like, the dispute there.
What did he want to do that they said no to?
Yeah, was it.
Was it the song?
He wanted more time? Or to do, like, Bioshock 2, and they were like, no, we want this out within, you know, 2 or 3 years, and he wanted to focus on it for, because Bioshock Infinite was, like, then in development for almost 5 years.
Yeah.
And Bioshock 2 would have only been in development for, like, almost 3.
Yeah.
Like, probably less than when you think of, like, marketing on the back end and then pre-production on the front end. But 2K Marin was able to put out that game very quickly, because it's like 2007, 2010, 2012.
Yeah, then 2015, Infinite came out?
No, that's the 2012 one.
Oh, okay.
But if you think you have one team that did the first one, and then they started on the third one, and then you have a separate team in the middle that did the middle.
Did the second one. Yeah, second one, technically.
So it's like, they only had between like 07 and 2010. So from that dispute and the release of the first Bioshock till 2010 to completely do Bioshock 2 and put it out.
I'm so curious.
And Ken Levine at that time from 2007 had from then and that dispute to work on Infinite from 07 till 2012.
Yeah.
In a 5-year development cycle, which is, they were getting longer then, but 5 years is a little much.
Right? For games, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's common to have, like, AAA games nowadays go for, like, a 4-year development cycle on current generations. But 5 years last gen
That's long.
That is a little bit long. Like, and that's one of the reasons it, I think 2K...
Because gen cycles are a lot faster than they've been recently.
They were, yeah. And so they were trying to, you know...
Because then you got to think about, you got to put it on the new systems and with the new hardware. Well, because
the PS4 that came out in 2013.
That's what I mean, a year later.
Yeah, it was like, I want to say Infinite came out in like the spring of 2012, like May or something along those lines. And then the PS4 released like November of 2013. So it was like a little less than a year and a half, their new consoles were out.
That's what I mean. And it's like,
and the BioShock collection took a bit to get there. So I'm sure 2K felt that they didn't really get a return on investment from Ken Levine with BioShock Infinite, even though it critically did well, really, really well.
Yeah.
I'm sure from a financial standpoint, even as well as it sold, it wasn't enough to justify
a five-year
development cycle, as well as missing the boat on next gen.
Yeah, because then they have
probably would have sucked it up a little bit if it had been billed as, like, we are going to tap into
PS4. If they had waited a little bit longer, waited until next gen, I think it had done better to be, here's a new BioShock on generation, the next gen, where these two are on generation 3 or PS4 3 with the BioShock and BioShock 2.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
it definitely could have been spaced out a little bit differently to probably accommodate Ken Levine as well as 2K in the financial standpoint. And we probably still would be having Ken Levine creating BioShock games, or at the very least having like a person or maybe a few people who are now veterans in the BioShock franchise creating new ones. Like, that baton would have been handed off to someone else. To make the fourth one. To make number 4.
Which everyone hopes. I mean, I hope for a fourth one, so.
I do as well. I mean, the way Infinite ends, there is an infinite amount of possibilities that they could do.
What? Yeah, like, there's a ton. They placated the name and made it so, oh, they're so smart. And it's just, has he done any other games?
Not since 2012. It's been 7 years.
Jesus.
So what happened afterwards is there was small criticism about it being more action-oriented, but the story being a little bit too confusing and highbrow for people.
Yeah, because if you think about it, not everyone's like you, a trophy whore, is going to collect every single thing to make sure the timeline's clear.
Oh, it wasn't even... I didn't even do that the first time I played it, but I enjoyed it so much, I did not care about trophies at all. Like,
oh, yeah, it doesn't mean you didn't go back.
I still haven't.
What?
Gone back and done that one.
Platformed it?
Yeah,
platinumed it. Because it's a bitch!
That was crazy hard.
One of them was like, you had to, like, shoot one of those Mr. Handys within the heart with one shot. And it's like, how the fuck you want me to line that bitch up when he's moving monkey style?
It's going to be
and,
great.
And then you got to shoot one shot, not two. It's got to be one.
Exactly.
Dante.
But afterwards, he talked publicly a little bit about how it, like, the development of BioShock Infinite, in particular, like, it took a huge toll on him. Like, on his personal relationships, on his health, which...
A lot of games
I've heard a lot of, like, creative directors talk about that. Like,
yeah, that's not the first time we've heard that when it comes to games.
Yeah, it's, like, it's just so demanding and, like, taxing, like... If you guys haven't checked it out, like, if you want a little bit more insight into the gaming industry as a whole and what some of these creative directors have talked about, like, publicly in articles or interviews, watch the God of War documentary on YouTube.
That is a good one. And that's a very good example right there, how just taxing and how much it takes out of people and relationships and everyday life.
How much they're spending on it and how much they worry about it and how pretty much their livelihood is, like, contingent on the success of the project they are working on, the creative work that they're working on.
We have to think about it, though. It's like,
and it's not just them. You're talking about sometimes a couple hundred employees or 50 employees or 20 employees even.
Yeah.
Like, even then, you're worried about 20 other people or 50 other people.
Depending on how big your team is.
They're not going to make their mortgage payment for their little kid.
Yeah.
Like, if, you know, your game doesn't sell because it's not good.
Oh, that's shitty.
Yeah, and so Ken Levine talked about that a little bit. He still works for 2K.
2K. K2.
Downsized Irrational Studios. It's essentially defunct now. him and about 15 others from Irrationals formed a new studio. I believe it's Ghost Story Games or something like that. Ghost something games. I
have no idea about Aspect.
And they have yet to produce a game. But the focus is going to be on digital-only indie games and have a lot smaller...
Digital-only, is that... Oh, digital download-only.
Yeah, just like something you would download from the PlayStation Network or the Xbox Live Store.
Small games.
Yeah, not the AAA caliber that Bioshock 1, 2, and 3
would be. Yeah, because Bioshock Infinite's a huge fucking game.
Yeah, Ghost Story Games. Bioshock Infinite is huge. The first Bioshock's huge as well, big scope.
Bioshock 2,
same. It's on par with 1.
It is, yeah.
Just because it was more quick to make does not mean that it was...
We also think we both said the same thing. It's like with Bioshock 2, you already had the grounds to basically put out the game. Bioshock Infinite is its own workhorse that has the same name Bioshock and kind of the same gist of the game, but it's completely different. More action-packed, more deep dive into a multiverse lore.
Yeah, well, and plus, too, like...
Only one big daddy.
You know, my argument about Bioshock 2 coming out more quickly than, you know, probably like Ken Levine wanted... A huge part of that is because they were able to recycle a lot of assets created for the first Bioshock. Mm-hmm. Infinite, obviously. Not set in the same place. Nope. Nothing close. I'm sure you could reuse very little.
Yeah.
And so everything has to be recreated as if it's a new franchise or IP.
Well, even how you do the Atom versus the Vickers, it's like, that's literally...
It's animated differently. It looks differently. Those assets have to be custom created for Infinite.
For it. Because like with the other one, you have like a giant thing of an eagle you just stab into your arm. And then with the Vickers, you're drinking a liquid, and then the powers change completely.
You can't map those animations from one to the other, even with just different assets designed for it.
It's like, even like, I don't even think hacking's involved in...
It is.
Infinite, but it's completely different
from... Everything's different. Which, it needed to be because it fit that narrative, and then opened up the series to a whole bunch more. But
it did,
also,
it did. But then it made a more complicated game to make.
Create.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's probably why Ken Levine wanted a longer time to do Bioshock 2 to begin with. Wasn't afforded that opportunity or passed on the opportunity, and that's why 2K Marin did Bioshock 2,
you know,
and then spent all that time on Infinite.
Yeah, because we also don't know the story where he's like, "Well, I already did a Bioshock. This is what I want to do." He's like, "You can have the rights to make the second one, but I want to make Infinite."
Yeah, I mean, I think he wanted to do Bioshock 2, because, like, you pointed out that interview where you said he had the story pretty much already done, right? Ideas for it, or the groundwork done.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling there was probably pressure because of time and finances, like money.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just the difference between, like... an investor and a creator.
That seems to always be the case when it comes down to a creator versus an investor.
And 2K is a huge like publisher, but they're not gigantic.
No, they're not. They're not like Ubisoft.
Yeah, you're not talking about like Ubisoft or EA or Activision Blizzard.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're sizable enough. They're up there, and they have, you know, a lot of studios in their belt, and they publish a lot of great games.
But still.
They're not gigantic, you know.
No, no. I mean, they have a few studios, but they're all, I think in the States. 2K's located in the States.
Yeah, I believe so. I can look that up.
It was like Ubisoft.
And they do, like, Borderlands and stuff like that.
Borderlands, which is also a good one as well.
Yeah, American Video Game Publisher.
That's what I thought, 2K.
Take-Two Interactive. That's what it was founded as in 2005. They were big in, like, sports games and stuff back in the day.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because they had, like, 2K whatever.
2K whatever.
Here we go. History. It's kind of what I want.
History. I'm just going to ad-lib and sing in the background.
Might as well.
Going to sing some songs. But no, I still think Bioshock 2 goes Bioshock.
Oh, they do have 2. Some studios. They have one in China.
Oh.
2K Chengdu. Chengdu?
You fucked that up.
Yeah, I totally did. Found in June of 2011. That one's in China. But then, yeah, they have 2K Marin is in Novato, California. 2K Silicon Valley. California, 2K Vegas, Cat Daddy Games, in Kirkland, Washington.
What? That's close.
That's really close to here.
It's legit.
Fire Access Games, that's an old school one.
Yeah.
Founded in 96, acquired in 05. Interesting. Hangar 13.
Burr.
Same city as 2K Marin. Novatu, California. Nevada.
Nevada.
No, it's Novatu or...
Sporatu.
Visual Concepts, same city. And then defunct 2K Australia, 2K China and Shanghai, 2K Czech. They had a shit ton of studios that have, like, slowly just, like, Irrational Games, which was in Westwood, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. Boston,
Carpac and Carpac.
Venom yes, Games.
Venom.
They have a few, like, floating around. Like, 90% of them, though, are here in the United States and in California specifically.
Yeah.
West Coast.
Well, it makes sense for them to branch out into other populations.
Boston
well,
is, like, the furthest one away kind of a thing. But, yeah, Games Publish, which means they didn't create them. Their studios did. But... you're looking at kind of all their mm-hmm. old school, like, racing games and sports games that they did.
Yeah, I remember 2K.
Yeah.
Racing games.
Then you got, like, Civilization 4 is in there. Oh, that's weird. Oblivion.
Did they really?
I don't know why they would have published that.
But that's weird.
That's what's listed on here. It doesn't have anything else. Bizarre. Mm. I don't know why they would have.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, by 2K Games. Bizarre. Didn't know that.
Things you don't know, now you know.
Yeah. That's just kind of odd ones. They've done a lot of things. Like I said, a lot of sports games, some licensed games in here. Bioshock, of course, which we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And then I believe they do Borderlands. They published that as well. But they're, yeah. like I said, they're not gigantic. I mean, they're definitely sizable and, you know, something to be reckoned with. Yeah, here's Bioshock, and then Borderlands was the same year, 09.
That's funny.
Oh, it was Bioshock on the Mac was released on that, because I was like, wait, Bioshock was 07.
Oh, on the Mac? That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, there's Borderlands. Bioshock 2, February 9th of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a little bit of everything. Like, they're just...
They're not huge, but they're sizable, for sure.
Yeah, they're very important. You know, they do... I mean, just with Borderlands and Bioshock alone, like...
Yeah, just like especially freaking Borderlands, Jesus. And yeah. Bioshock 2, because I mean, I know that franchise isn't stopped in 2012, but Borderlands, you know, it was definitely its
own. They took a huge hiatus, too, between Borderlands 2 and 3, and they did Battleborn, which was like a huge risk. But
and then I'm super curious, though, to think if he'll let them do the rights. So does 2K own Bioshock?
Yeah, so most of those contracts, mm-hmm. even if a studio. Like, independently creates, so, like, Irrational Games or 2K Boston, like, independently creates Bioshock. Mm-hmm. That studio does not own the rights to it, because they are owned by 2K. 2K owns the rights.
So I wonder if they'll make another game.
Or plus, Ken Levine is still, his company is owned by 2K. So.
Which is Irrational Studios.
Not anymore, that's the Ghost Games now. Oh, Irrational became Ghost Games.
Spooksy Games! Spooksies. Yeah. Spooksies, cancer.
But no, 2K could easily have any one of their, like, if Ken Levine doesn't want to do it and doesn't even have a sizable team to do it, 2K easily could have, you know, 2K Marin do another one. Or if they feel like another team within their company or another studio within their company has the chops to do it or a good idea, or maybe there's even a pitch, you know. 2K Australia doesn't exist anymore, but say 2K Australia came and was like, hey, we've got a great idea for, you know, Bioshock Infinite 2 or Bioshock 4, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, they might green light something like that.
So I'm curious why they called it. I know Infinite makes sense for the name, but that was why it wasn't called Bioshock 3.
Yeah, it was also, that was also at a time when franchises as a whole were switching away from kind of numbered games. And we talked about this in our last podcast a little bit about having, like, multiple generations of gaming, and now gaming is, you know, becoming more and more aged and maturing. There was a period, especially when Bioshock Infinite came out
mm-hmm.
in the early 2010s, and specifically with the PS3 and the 360, where they were starting to stray away and just, even if it was part of, like, a numbered series where you had, like, Bioshock 1 and 2, like, the third and the fourth and the fifth entries, it would just be, like, Bioshock and then a name. Oh, that was a big thing.
I find that weird.
That's well, because if you think about it, a couple podcasts ago, we talked about Assassin's Creed and the franchise and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They dropped off on numbers. You don't have an Assassin's Creed 5 Unity. It's just Assassin's Creed Unity, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Assassin's Creed Origins, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. 4 was the last one that was numbered.
Yeah, but Assassin's Creed 4 was part of Ezio.
That one wasn't. No, that was with Kenway. That's Black Flag.
Shit. I messed that up.
No, they... Because they... And that models it a little bit, too, because they did Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, the first one probably is not going to have a number attached to it.
No.
It's a little presumptuous. It was going automatically going to be
Assassin's Creed 1.
Yeah, and it sounds weird anyways.
Yeah.
But then they had Assassin's Creed 2, but then, yeah, during the Ezio trilogy, it wasn't like Assassin's Creed, you know, they didn't pull a Final Fantasy, like 2-1, or 2-2, or 2-3. Oh. It was, you know, Brotherhood, and then Revelations, and then Assassin's Creed 3, which didn't have a subtitle. It was just Assassin's Creed 3, and then Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag. And then Assassin's Creed Unity and Rogue, and then Assassin's Creed Syndicate, and then now they've, you know, soft rebooted again.
Origins Odyssey.
Yeah.
But it just makes me curious, though, because, like, that's just kind of a good example. It's like, they already were kind of segueing from the names where it's Brotherhood, and then,
I think that was just to keep it, like, intact because it was Ezio still.
Hmm. I suppose.
Not to, like, model it a little bit. Like, this is not Assassin's Creed 3 because it's, you know...
Ezio's story.
Yeah.
And we don't
It's still Assassin's Creed 2. It's just more of 2. It's Brotherhood. It's Revelations. Yeah. It's
Dante Levante.
They'll do that quite often, especially if they have, like, spinoffs. We're talking about...
I'm just going to make a game. I'm going to call game 1, game 2, game 3, game 4.
Game 17.
You just get a game and then a number.
Exactly.
You don't know what the fuck you're playing. It's just game 5. I don't know what game 5 is about. I just got game 5.
Well, kind of like Final Fantasy, like, trips people up. Because it's like Final Fantasy, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we're going to, like, omit all the crazy release stuff between Japan and the U.S. in the 90s. Because the beginnings of that don't make much sense either. But then you get, like, Final Fantasy 10, Final Fantasy 10 2, Final Fantasy 13, Final Fantasy 13 2, Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns. Like...
Wait, we're missing a few numbers.
Yeah, then we got a busy in between. Okay. They have Final Fantasy XI, which is an MMO, Final Fantasy XII, which is standalone, Final Fantasy XIII, and then XIII-2, then Lightning Returns, and then XIV, A Realm Reborn, and then XV. Like, so if you don't play Final Fantasy, you'd be like, what the hell is going on with your numbering system? It doesn't make any sense.
Because
you would think that Final Fantasy 2 would be the direct sequel to Final Fantasy 1. No, it has nothing to do with it. No. Like, not at all. Final Fantasy 1 and 2 are completely different stories, worlds, characters. Like, not even the same, like, gameplay. Same
what
genre.
What the fuck is this game? What am I playing, Dante?
And then after a certain point, there's always, like, a Biggs, a Wedge, a Cid. Like, those character names are just recycled over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, and then 10-2 is the direct sequel to 10, but 11 is not the direct sequel to 10. Completely different games.
Oh, my God. That's,
that's what I mean. I think, like, Ubisoft's, like, response to doing that was, like, this makes way more sense than that nonsense. Like, it's not really the third one, so we're just going to call it Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
But it makes sense compared to what fucking, I don't know, Final Fantasy is like, we're done here. No way, we lied, JK Lulz.
Yeah. Well, because I was always like, that's the big...
Running on
like,
joke.
Like, legend is that they were about to go bankrupt and it was going to be their final game if it didn't sell. So it was Final Fantasy. Like.
Then it sold and they just kind of rode the coattails of Final Fantasy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, legitimately just rode the coattails of Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, and they have now for, yeah, like...
15 of them.
Yeah, 30 years.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Which, when you think about it, kind of funny, because everyone, like, bitches and complains about how Final Fantasy games take forever to come out, and it's like, it's been 30 years, there's been 15 of them, that's really a Final Fantasy game every 2 years! That's impressive!
You think of it logically, but you also think about...
Just because they came out really rapidly in the beginning, and they were slow at the end.
Like, yeah. Exactly, rapid fire, then, and tired.
But yeah, I think, BioShock was just, especially with Infinite, was really just like following suit with the trend of like nomenclature BioShock of 3, franchise yeah. names and stuff like that.
No, what I mean, it makes sense because BioShock Infinite stands on its own, and then BioShock 1 or 2 are.
And I think it'd be really difficult because it's like, do we name them if they ever did. Like, if 2K Marin did, you know, yeah. another BioShock, you know, the fourth in the series, mm-hmm. would it be BioShock 3, 4. BioShock 4, BioShock Infinite 2?
Oh, like, God, no, don't do that.
Yeah. I would rather it just be BioShock and then something.
Yeah, because if you think about it, though, because BioShock 1 and 2 make sense, because...
Like, they could call, like, BioShock a Slave Obeys. Like, I would scoop the shit out of that. Like,
whoopsie scoopsies.
That'd be a great name. And harken back, you know, nostalgia-wise to the original. Ryan,
yeah.
And it could be anything. It could be a direct sequel to Columbia. It could take you back to Rapture. It could be a different timeline and almost a reboot of Rapture in the first one.
It could be.
You know, where Elizabeth Rapture existed, but it happened differently. Yeah, maybe Elizabeth's there, a version of Elizabeth, or, you know, Booker DeWitt is there instead of Jack, you mm-hmm. know, or Comstock instead of Andrew Ryan. Like, you could mix and match. You could create an entirely new city in a different mm-hmm. era that runs parallel to Columbia and Rapture. Like, so it would make more sense, you know, if it ever does, like, come out of dormancy, like, to...
Name
it and do another one. Just give it a subtitle and don't give it a number value. Yeah. Just keep with what Infinite started.
Yeah, because like I was saying, BioShock 1 and 2 make sense because 2 is literally a direct sequel from 1.
Yeah, like we just read, it's 8 years later mm-hmm. and it's in the same timeline because before we knew about all that craziness.
Infinite, yeah. And then, you know, you're trying to save your little sister...
But I would like even if they did, like, a prequel to BioShock Infinite,
mm-hmm.
where you get to see what happened, or play as, like, what happened with, like, Booker giving over Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Because obviously he had been to Columbia before.
Yeah, and he gave her over.
Columbia was, like, the, you know, shining state and city of the U.S. before it became sovereign and mm-hmm. just left.
Floated off in the air.
Yeah. So it's like, there was obviously, like, conflict there before and things that you could really play into.
Oh, easily. And it makes sense, too, though, because it's like you're saying, you know, where he gave over the baby and but not realizing that's not his daughter. His daughter drowned, didn't she?
Comstock's did, yeah.
Booker's daughter.
Well, he's the one that gave his daughter up, though.
No, but that's not the Elizabeth, though.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, that's his daughter?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He just doesn't know.
That's his daughter.
Yeah.
And, so, okay, I got it back. I got them flipped. I got Comstock mixed up with Booker. I mean, they're the same.
They're the same, yeah, but they are different.
They're technically the same, but they're different timelines because of, like, this is what happened because Booker gave up his daughter and Comstock's daughter died.
That's why he has those, like, flashbacks in his, like, detective office mm-hmm. because he's, like, a private eye and he had given up his daughter to the twins.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that took the daughter then to Comstock.
To raise.
Yes.
And it was
because
his
child had died.
Why did he give
her up
again?
Or was infertile or something.
I don't remember. Yeah, I think he was infertile. Why did they give her up? Why did he Booker give up his daughter again?
I don't directly recall.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't remember that either.
I'll play that one again. I do want to platinum that and go through it again.
No, yeah, that'd be fun to do. But I'm just saying in general, that's why I like the BioShock 2 is because I like the aspect of playing as a big daddy and then how they're big sisters now and how they're fucking badass because, I mean, they're psychotic, but they're, you know, more experiment on. And Tannenbaum is still there trying to save everybody.
Which is crazy that they, like, kept all that going mm-hmm. and then, like, added on to it. It definitely did. Like, you're absolutely right. It didn't feel like another studio or another creative director did that one. Mm-hmm. It felt very much a logical next step forward. Especially for most video games.
Which was awesome.
Infinite, I think, just shows Ken Levine's, like, creativity and kind of genius. Because it's just like, boom, same series, but now we're going to go to left field. You're going to have no idea what's going on, but we're going to
be the city in the
magically
sky.
Tie everything back, and it actually fits. It's not harebrained. And it's
yeah, like, but you have to play through it, though, to get it. And that makes sense with any game. Like,
but the allure of that. Mm-hmm. How is this going to attach to Bioshock? Like,
how is this going
to
make sense?
Trying to figure it out.
Like, you know,
and you're not, if you haven't played it.
God. And like if you play with Infinite first and then go back to the Bioshocks,
it's a big loop.
Yeah, it
which
is.
Even though there's just the three right now, if they didn't do another one, it is a very solid trilogy that you can.
Start
it makes sense narratively if you start with the first one or
the third one,
Infinite, and then just go around in circles between 1-2 Infinite, 1-2 Infinite. It makes sense story wise.
Yeah, but don't start with.
Choose the only one you would be able to do
like,
that.
You'd
yeah,
get so confused. You're like, what the fuck is this? Who's Tannenbaum?
But
why
you
do
could
I care?
Easily play Bioshock 1, then 2, or Infinite, then Bioshock 1.
Yeah, and then 2.
Yeah. And it would make sense because it does loop. Like, especially if you played
full
the DLC.
Circle. Yeah, exactly.
Like, which is, I don't know, incredibly, especially with a medium like that, a video game,
yeah,
incredibly brilliant.
Yeah, if you think of video game-wise, I can't think of any other video game where you, in a trilogy, where you can play two, the third one, and then the first one, and it just doesn't make any sense. You have to play them in order. Where this one gives you the flexibility, because Infinite's the Infinite Timelines, it gives you the opportunity to play Infinite 1 and 3, 2.
Yeah, and so it's like if you played Infinite, it'll just give you like pretty much like a teaser or a taste of like Rapture, and then you're like, well, what's that world like?
And
it fits into the narrative of Infinite, and then you could play it in Bioshock,
yeah,
and be like, oh, that is what
that's
this is what
badass.
Rapture
and then you
is.
Play the first one, you're like, what the fuck, it is awesome, and then you play the third one, second one, you're like, you're playing as a Big Daddy now? What the hell? It's full circle.
Yeah, and it makes complete sense to like do it that way or have it done that way.
Yeah, which is cool. I don't think they intentionally did it that way.
I think Ken Levine did.
You think so?
I think, yeah, absolutely. Like, with the way the writing is structured, especially in the first one and the last one, I think he absolutely did that on purpose.
No, yeah, that makes sense. And I think, I guess that's why he wanted
to. I think he was writing on a very different level than most writers for video games writing.
Well, because if you think about it, for video game writers, no offense, sometimes it's just a simple video game.
Yeah, and especially, again, talking about the now, like, maturity of games or, like, the agedness of it, like, they didn't have, like, separate writers before.
No.
Now they do. Like, you're pulling people with English degrees or who have worked on, you know, screenplays
books,
and stuff and novels
yeah.
who are just writing the narrative, like, structures of a video game.
And that's
story.
Cool to see, because, like you said, the maturity of it. And then watch it grows and shows you that it's not just a video game anymore.
Exactly,
It's got a storyline. It's in development. It's got, like, sometimes live action stuff as well. And, you know, like, a legit story behind just shoot 'em ups.
Yeah, it really has come into its own as its own type of artwork. Mm-hmm. And Bioshock, I think, is a shining example of it. The series as a whole.
Yeah, the series as a whole. Not just, like, one of the individual ones, but
from,
a
like,
series as a whole.
An art and design standpoint, from
which is gorgeous,
a gameplay, like, animating and programmer standpoint, from, you know, Ken Levine's writing and the other writers that worked on it, to even, like, the mini games that are in there with, like, the hacking,
the lore.
The audio diaries, the
Big
characterization
daddies.
And the growth or fall of those characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't really remain static, or you know they have not remained static.
Yeah, exactly.
Know?
And like with Infinite, you start off at the carnival Comstock and, you know, it's everything's fine. And then
it seems as if it is.
Seems as if it is. And then everything goes to fucking hell in a handbasket when it's Bioshock. You're already in the hell in a handbasket scenario. It's not the party. It's already fucking, the ball's dropped and shit went to hell.
Exactly. Well, and that's a wonderful theme to hit on, because it juxtaposes those two cities. They are opposites in that way. One, Rapture, is not afraid to show its dark corners and recesses. Columbia, although that does exist, is afraid to show anyone that it's not perfect.
Yeah.
And so it's like, even in that, those intros are actually exactly the same.
Exactly.
But opposite.
Yep.
Like, and they even play out the same way beat for beat. I've actually seen videos where it's someone playing through each one and it's the first like 15, 20 minutes of each, and they both culminate at the exact same moment with you throwing the ball.
Yeah.
Like at the racist and then getting into a fight. It's the same thing with the wrench when you fight the splicer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy how, like, they mimic one another between the first and the third, and just that, in opposite turns.
And that makes sense, too, because, like he said, that one guy, he made the first and the third one.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I think it was done purposefully as far as the circular nature of the story.
Yeah, and I do like the second one, too, just to kind of more dive into the lore of Rapture, which is cool.
Yeah, it does give it an opportunity to, like, flex its wings a little bit, you know.
Be like, this is what happened, and this is the aftermath of everything, and what were they still trying to fucking fix.
Yeah, here's what would happen if
this went no one to was the surface.
Loosely running Rapture, yeah, and it was raised to the surface, and eight more years of, like, turmoil and, like, degradation have, like, taken place.
Exactly, where the splicers have mutated and have transformed into horrible creatures, and where... the fact that if this gets to the surface, I think that's, like, the main basis of that was the mom to the original little sister was trying to take it to the surface.
Well, yeah, and then you also get to see, that's why I think the writing is even tied to the second one, is because as Rapture rises, so does Columbia.
Exactly.
Like, they really do parallel one another. Like, they do. It's, like, really well done, like...
I honestly love the series, and I wish they would do a fourth one, but I would be happy with just the three, like, to be honest.
It definitely is. It had such great entries in the series, and it started and ended masterfully that, I would be content.
With the three of them.
As just, like, this is, you know, this was its moment in video game, like, history. And I feel like
with a fourth one, it has to be done just as well and tied into just as well. If it's going to be that case. If it's not, then don't fucking put the game out. Because it's just going to ruin that series.
Yeah, I mean, there would be no reason to add a fourth one in the entry. Like, I would want it to be... Like, it would be great if, like, Ken Levine would at least consult, even in just the writing.
Yeah.
If that was something he was completely uninterested in, I would just really want, like, a passionate team...
to do the fourth one.
Yeah, that wants to do it and has a great idea, and then 2K just gives them, like, the benefit and, like, the investment to go and do it.
Which would be amazing.
I would hate if it was the other way, where it's, like, 2K is like, oh, we...
But here's the name.
Yeah, we're light this year, or this fiscal year, on titles to publish, so can you do a Bioshock 4 game? Here's some money. And then the studio's gonna be like, yeah, like, sure, like, you know, I would rather have, like, a team broach their publishing partner and be like, we have a great idea, this is our pitch, like, you know, we're really passionate about, you know, like, Ken Levine's work in the Bioshock franchise, we really want to do Bioshock 4, like, here are our ideas, here's our plan, and then 2K give them the go-ahead. I want that passion to be behind
it. Yeah, if there's no passion, there's no point.
Yeah. And I know sometimes... publishers, you know, will, unfortunately, go the other way.
With no passion.
Yeah, it's just like, well, we need a big game to fill in, you know, this quarter of our fiscal year. Mm-hmm. We would, you know, in, you know, 2023, we would like you to do this, and then they have to come up with an idea and start pre-production. That'd be cool if
they
did
it. They're just waiting until the PlayStation 5 comes out to do it, too.
It would be really cool. I thought there might be some sort of announcement, especially when the Bioshock collection came out. A lot of times, publishers will use... remasters of franchises as, like, a litmus test for how well...
I think it did well.
...that franchise is doing. I'd have to look at, like, sales units to see how well it sold.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a relatively small investment, and then you get to see if, like, an older franchise or one that hasn't been around for a while will sell well.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's, like, if a ton of people went out and bought the Bioshock collection, then...
then it's worth putting out a fourth one because it's fresh in their minds with the collection. And
yep.
Boom.
Which is really super smart.
It is smart to do.
Yeah.
Especially since Bioshock 3 came out barely the last generation. And
yeah, and I'm glad that they did a complete collection for the PS4. I really enjoyed it.
Not just piecemealed it out, but had all of it released too.
Wish 2K would have whoever did the port to that, though, like, do an update so I can stream it. That would be fantastic. One of my favorite franchises of all time. I can't stream any of them. And all it takes is a patch. Like, and then he can.
Hey.
So
hey.
Disappointing. Yeah, 2K. Hey. You've been listening.
Hey.
Whoever you had, port that over to the PlayStation 4.
Fix it.
I don't want to have to get a capture card and do all that shit, but
we're going to have to. We're going to want regardless.
But anyways, if you liked this episode, we can do deep dives into other studios or influential figures in the gaming industry.
Oh, yeah.
Like Ken Levine. We have some ideas of our own. At least I do.
I have a few.
I would like to cover Sony Santa Monica and Corey Barlog.
Yeah.
And I think Naughty Dog would be another really cool one to go over. They have a great kind of history, and I've watched a lot of documentaries about Naughty Dog.
Even, like, the God of War one. I know that hasn't already been talked about, but still.
Yeah, well, maybe we can just focus on Corey Barlog and what he did in the in-between time, what he did before, and stuff like that.
Exactly.
This one, we kind of split the difference and talked about Ken Levine, but mostly Irrational Games, a.k.a. 2K Boston.
Yeah.
But we could just focus it on a person.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, let us know if you
if you have a suggestion of a, like, studio or person, or both. Or even, like, a franchise, you know, even if it's more similar to our Assassin's Creed podcast where we discuss the history of the franchise, we would be willing to discuss something like that, too.
Oh, yeah, more than happy to.
Let's cover Devil May Cry or something.
Yeah, like ooh, Devil May Cry would be a good one, too.
Yeah, there's some good franchises that we can do.
All right, well, again, this is Rage Quit. Thank you for listening to episode 12.
Woohoo!
Getting close to wrapping up this year and starting a new one. As always, I'm Ariel Schultz.
And I'm Anthony Schultz.
Always follow the white bear.
Follow the bear.
Follow the bear.
Peace.
Peace.